Welcome back. You're here with Dave and Faisal on 770 CHQR and More Than Money. And Faisal, we're going to talk about money. We're going to talk about 2018. It's been a long year for a lot of people.
Do we have to talk about it? I'm sure a lot of people don't want to talk about 2018.
A lot of people don't want to. You know, and it was, listen, it wasn't a catastrophic year by any stretch of the imagination. We certainly had volatility return to the market, and that's something that's been absent for a long time, and I think people have become complacent to it, so this has felt pretty bad,
right?
Economics didn't look so bad, but indexes were all over the place, and the end of the year got pretty scary. Let's try to understand what the heck was going on there.
Yeah, and it's very interesting year because when people look at volatility, they have a reference point. Mm-hmm. And most people were looking at a reference point on the peak of their portfolio in 2018 and then saw the drop. And if you look in some cases, we saw a 10 or even greater percent pullback in the U.S. market, in the Canadian market, and even international markets, and that caused a bit of a shock to a lot of people,
right,
and caused them to react emotionally behind it. So let's find out from our experts on what happened and why it happened, and then we can kind of go into what does the future look like.
Well, we're going to be joined here for the next couple of segments by Miles Zyblock. He's the chief investment strategist at Dynamic Funds. He's been a regular recurring guest of ours over the years. And Miles, welcome back, and thanks for taking some time with us.
Hey, gentlemen, it's absolutely great to be here. Thanks a lot.
All right. Well, we've got a relatively short period of time to try to make sense of what the heck 2018 was all about. But I'm going to take you right back to the beginning, January 1st, 2018. Starting the year, what were you thinking about? How did you think 2018 was going to shape up?
Well, you know, in terms of, it's a great question because, you know, looking back and you sort of check your notes, I mean, in terms of the economies around the world, we thought they would still be fine. We thought earnings growth would be fine. So, you know, you translate and you think about that and you say, well, the markets should generally behave pretty well. And obviously, you know, with the benefit of hindsight, which is 2020 now, you know, earnings for corporations have come in well. You've had some decent growth around the world, a little bit slower, but decent growth around the world. But the markets have been all over the place. You know, it's been what I'd call a very unique year for this current generation of investors. And, you know, when I'm saying unique, I'll just give you a couple of anecdotes. If you look at all the global asset classes, you know, we track about 70 to 80 of them. And about 90% of those global asset classes, whether it's stocks, bonds, credits, whatever, 90% of them are printing negative for the year. Now, it's not the depth that's so scary. It's just the fact that there's so many asset classes out there that have just failed to make investors money, which is really unique. And if you look back in history, you know, it's been at least a century where we've seen something like this. We have not seen anything like this in a very long time. So again, it's, you know, a little bit rough going here for investors all around the world, and it's really not because economies or corporate earnings are doing poorly.
Yeah, that's what's been interesting, right? Because you know, Faisal, we've talked about that. You talk about the global economic situation, and it wasn't dire by any stretch of the imagination. Maybe it's softened a little bit, but we're still in expansion, not contraction.
Correct.
All those different things, like Miles said. Okay, so there's some unique aspects to this. People, certainly in the last quarter of this year, you know, we got hit with some stuff. Let's maybe talk about, Miles, if you would, synthesize for us the key, some of the key problems, risks, things that are, you know, are bothering the markets and how they develop through the course of the year.
You know, when we look at what's going on in the market, I think it comes down to three things, at least three big macro issues that the investors are having a hard time digesting. And the first is, you know, obviously, and this has been around for a while, concerns about escalating trade wars. You know, a while ago it was, you know, the NAFTA agreement that got on people's nerves, and, you know, now it's China and the U.S. So I think that the worries about what the trade wars could do to the economies is one sort of big issue outstanding. Another is that central banks, in particular North American central banks, are starting to raise interest rates. And we've seen, you know, since late 2015, the Federal Reserve has raised interest rates eight times for, you know, the rates are now at about 2.25% in the U.S., not really alarmingly high, but in essence, the tightening is bothering investors. We've seen, you know, a few rate hikes. I think there's been five rate hikes now since the middle of 2017 for the Bank of Canada. So in North America, you have concerns about tightening monetary policy conditions. And then finally, just the overall sense of what all this means and how they interact and how they could affect growth on a go-forward basis. So it's not about, you know, obviously about earnings delivery today, because, you know, if you just look at the U.S., the latest data for the S&P 500 shows that earnings have expanded on a year-on-year basis by about 26%. So it's not about current earnings delivery. It's really about worries about these interactions and what they mean for future earnings growth. And I think that's really what we're seeing in the market. It's trade largely, and it's central bank tightening.
So, Miles, some of the research that I've read this year were saying that the U.S. stock market did so well in 2017 was borrowing some of the return of 2018 because of the expansion of the PE multiples and so forth. And so 2018 may not be a great year, which so far we are saying that it hasn't. And so are we saying that the pullback is borrowing from the potential of an upside for next year?
I don't know if it's doing, you know, it's a good point, because, you know, you did have a big multiple expansion in 2017. You had no volatility in the markets to speak of. I think the biggest correction in the U.S. was under 3%. That was really as unusual as 2018's been, but just sort of the 180-degree turn of that, in the sense that, you know, 2017, no volatility, lots of PE expansion or valuation expansion in the markets, and 2018's been, you know, valuation contraction and more volatility. Now, you know, my sense here is that, you know, 2017 was probably a little too good to be true. It was a little bit Goldilocks, and that probably is, you know, was unlikely to persist, and it hasn't persisted. But, you know, my sense here about what the market's doing today is it's kind of almost got a little too pessimistic given the outlook, in the sense that, you know, maybe we've got to hand back some of those returns we've taken because, you know, when you look around the world, the risks of recession are low. I'm not saying you get 20%+ earnings growth in 2019, but, you know, could you see 7-10% earnings growth around the globe? I think that is, you know, a pretty conservative estimate, and I think it's likely to happen. So you have okay earnings growth. You still have relatively low interest rates around the world. It's just hard for me to see the beginnings of a bear market here unless I'm completely missing something. And obviously the market is telling me there may be something I'm missing at this stage, but, you know, I haven't seen enough in the macroeconomic data to tell me that there are recession concerns, that there are, you know, there's an earnings recession concern coming up or anything like that. So I think the markets have got pretty jittery, pretty pessimistic, and so hopefully we see some of that change, you know, as we enter into 2019. And let me just point out, if I'm right about the two worries being trade and central bank tightening, well, you know, in late November, the central bank in the U.S. already said they might be done. So that should be positive for the markets on a go forward if we get some confirmation that they're near or at the end of their tightening cycle. You know, December 19th, a few days from now, we're probably going to see one more rate hike from the Fed, but that may be it. At the same time, the Bank of Canada has said that, you know, maybe they are going to slow down their pace of rate increases. So at the margin, you know, you're unlikely to see these runaway interest rates, which means that there's less risk of an accident in the economies and in the markets. On trade, you know, I'm a little bit contrarian in the view on trade, in the sense that, you know, protectionism is a very scary word. You know, it's always associated with things like the Great Depression and things like that. But I really think if you look at not what people are saying, the politicians are saying around the world, but what they're doing, I in fact think that there's been a lot of progress made and that freer trade is happening, not less free trade. Now, let me give you some examples.
Miles, before you do, we're going to actually have to go on break on this one. And it's a great tease for all you listeners out there of what's really happening out there. I also want to chat with you, Miles, when we come back, about what markets surprised you on the downside. Was it Europe, emerging markets, U.S. or Canada, and the bond market as well? I want to get your take on what surprised you, because I find that whatever surprises most analysts or strategists also have the opportunity for a nice recovery in the following years. So I want to kind of just touch on that. So is that okay, Dave?
Sure. No, absolutely. So let's take a quick break. Before we do take that, that break, however, yep. Faisal. Let's remind everybody about our upcoming seminar.
Yeah, we're going to talk about these economic strategies and investment using our five-pillar investment strategy approach to reaching for your retirement goals on Tuesday, January 22nd, 7 p.m. at the Crowfoot Co-op Wine, Spirits, and Beer. You need to reserve your seat, so give us a call, 966-8400. That's 966-8400, or go on our website to register at morethanmoneyradio.com.
All right, stick around after the break to find out the answers to those important questions about what we're going to be facing here on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.